So I've got an email for you guys.
Have you got an email?
Ooh.
Yes.
An email.
This one is from Elizabeth, and the subject line is a wee thank you.
Oh, Scotland.
Mm. Yeah, well, maybe. Hello, Sci Guys. I hope you're all doing well. Hello, Sci Guys. I hope you're all doing well. I thought I'd email you to let you know that your podcast is amazing.
Aw, lovely.
That's so wholesome.
My dad suggested that I listen to a podcast on the way to school. Yours arrived just in time.
Good dad.
Yeah, good dad. Good job, dad. Solid dad. Thanks for the interesting and odd science stories and the lighthearted humor to help jumpstart my morning. I partially love Luke spoiling the hashtag content before it's meant to arrive.
Yeah, I haven't done that for a few weeks. Yeah, I need to get better at that.
No, you do not need to get better at that.
I did it this week because I pointed out, well, when you'll see the episode, pointed out that you did this whole thing from a Twitter meme. So, yeah, I did pretty well this week.
You really did. So thank you for making my weekday mornings bearable on the way to school. Hope you have a good day. Elizabeth. P.S. Thanks, Corey, for taking photos with my friend Oscar despite his shyness.
Cute.
Cool. Good.
Well, thanks, enjoy Elizabeth. Your walk today, Elizabeth.
And enjoy this episode.
Start the show.
Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutper.
Hello.
Good day.
Welcome back.
This week, we're getting deep and going to some dark places.
Oh,
some
my
dark
favorite.
Ooh. Where?
So we've climbed Mount Everest, we've been to the moon, and we've even sent robots to Mars.
Have we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we haven't.
Well, not us three in
not
particular.
Not us three individually.
No. Well, I have. Anyway.
Okay.
The most abundant thing on the surface of Earth is water, but we've not really been there, have we? This week, we're talking about the real final frontier, deep sea exploration, and why you should be terrified of the ocean.
We've not been to water.
Not to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, the bottom of the ocean.
Corey,
okay.
Can I just ask? This week on Twitter, I saw like this video where it just kept going lower and lower. Yeah, is that why you've chosen this? It was just like a video that was like, how deep is the ocean? And it just kept going down.
I was in
videos.
The bath when I saw that. I was really scared.
How deep is my bath?
So if you're ever wondering why some of the Sci Guys topics get picked and like some really important scientific reason, it's probably not. Corey's probably seen a meme.
Maybe it's because Corey's in the bath.
It was really scary because my bath not very deep, but the ocean is really deep.
It is kind of annoying when you say we haven't been to the bottom of the ocean, because that animation shows that we actually went like within like 50 meters and then just stopped.
It's because it's difficult to get down there.
Didn't James Cameron go down there?
Yeah, James Cameron's been down there.
Not quite. There is one expedition went lower than James Cameron.
Ah. Two. I thought you were going to say James Cameron got 50 meters to from the bottom and went, nah. Fuck
yeah, it. No, that's the other expedition did. The other expedition really? Did. It literally was like 50 meters away from the bottom and they were like, turned around and went back up.
Why?
There's reasons.
I'm sure we will find out, James. Don't worry.
Maybe that's I'll tell you now.
Maybe that's what the episode's
about. It's because
their
ship was cracking.
Ah,
yeah,
that's a good reason.
Pressure because the bottom of the ocean's very heavy.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Well, the ocean is very heavy.
Well, a lot of water is very heavy, to be fair.
That's very true. Even a little bit of water is very
heavy.
Even
a little bit of water.
You ever tried to pick up water? It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Just slips right through your
fingers. Do you know a liter of water is a kilogram?
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, like year three science.
The
James.
Metric system is so great.
The metric system is great. I love it. You know, every 10 meters you go down is another atmosphere worth of pressure.
I bet someone out there who heard that a liter of water is 1 kilogram and went, that's such a weird coincidence.
Wow.
As if we didn't like do that on purpose.
It's like it was designed that way.
So oceans cover 70% of the Earth's surface, but even today we've not really explored them very much. We've explored maybe 3%.
We've explored more of the ocean. More of like Mars than we have of the ocean.
Oh yeah, we've got like perfect maps of Mars.
What about
more
Mars
or less.
Oceans? Oh, Mars doesn't have oceans.
It had oceans.
Has ice.
Yeah, it does.
There we go.
Yeah, but we know more about the moon and Mars than we do about the bottom of the ocean.
To be fair, I was acting shocked, like, only 3%, but I thought it was like 5%, so it's not that much of a difference, I guess.
Yeah, but 90 to 95%.
But it's still not a lot.
No. Like 90 to 95% of it is a complete mystery. We don't know what's going on there at all.
Brilliant.
Probably just more water, though.
I mean, probably quite a bit of water.
Yeah. What if that's what you expect. What if there's really big sharks?
They're actually quite small sharks. There's a shark that could fit in the palm of your hand.
That's not scary. What if they were, like, I'm talking the Meg, like Jason Statham level threat?
There could be, but it'd be difficult to have that, to think about it. There's not much down there, so the amount you'd have to eat and be that big.
All I'm asking is it possible?
I mean, yes. Technically, yes.
That's good enough for me. Carry on.
You guys know how space, there's a different definition of space between the US military and everyone else.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do, actually.
So space is a different thing.
You also know this.
Yeah, I do know this. Sure.
You also know this.
I was saying yes like that because I wouldn't have been able to tell you what it was.
Yeah.
For America, space is 20 kilometers.
I don't know the exact difference. The point is that deep sea is the
same
thing.
You used to.
It was on a piece of paper.
Before.
It was on a thing in front of me. No, so the deep sea is the same in that there's different definitions.
Right.
So fishermen say that the deep sea is any part of the ocean beyond the continental shelf, which is just like the edge of the land. So as soon as it drops off, they're like, that's deep sea.
Yeah.
Whereas scientists, the deep sea is the lowest part of the ocean, which is about deeper than 1,800 meters, which is beyond where light can reach. So for scientists, deep sea is like 1,800 meters, and for fishermen, it's pretty shallow.
Technically, light can reach all the way to the bottom. It would just get exponentially less bright.
Do you enjoy saying something like that?
It wouldn't drop off to zero.
Do you like saying, saying that? Do you like being smart, Luke?
No, just mean technically, that there's no such thing as like, it can't reach there because it would just get less and less bright. I mean, eventually, I suppose if one photon was left and then that one photon was like not able to get further, then, but that's not after 1,800 meters.
After 1,800 meters, it's dark. Really dark, okay? Because you can't see any sunlight.
It's dark. Scientific definition, it's really
it's
dark.
It's scientifically really freaking dark, okay?
Almost undetectable to the human eye.
Exactly. So I don't know what to say to that. So I'll tell you how deep the ocean is. Just different depths to give you an idea. How deep can scuba divers dive? Do you know?
Scuba divers.
Well, I can dive. I think it's 20 meters. But others,
not very good.
Other scuba divers. Well, I only have the first level of scuba diver.
I would imagine like probably 500 meters. As a
guess. Oh, no.
Right, okay. 500 meters is how deep blue whales dive. Yeah, so that's not happening. No.
Definitely not that far.
It's 40 meters.
What?
Only? Yeah.
40. Hang on. But those,
hold on a minute.
My watch as a kid was waterproof up to 50 meters. So, like, what's the point if scuba divers don't go deeper than that? What's going down with my...
Blue whale's
going to wear my watch and go down 50 meters?
What?
Yeah, they need to know what time it is, don't they?
Is your watch more advanced at diving than every scuba diver?
All that means is that it can withstand the pressure.
No, I know, but I'm just wondering why they...
And it also sinks.
They make it sink specifically to prove it.
Yeah.
The Burj Khalifa, if you were to submerge it, would still not even reach nearly the bottom. That's 830 meters tall, and it's the biggest building we've ever made.
That's pretty pathetic of us, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not even 10% of how deep the ocean is. You could fit more than 10 Burj Khalifas into the deepest part of the ocean and still not hit the surface.
Yeah, and then so I thought roughly when I was watching this animation that has prompted this entire episode of SciGuys, was the deepest of the ocean is about 30,000 feet, which is about what our planes fly at.
Yeah.
So like where our jumbo jet, if you go to America and you fly in the sky, you're going as high as the deepest point of the sea.
Yeah. So cruising altitude is about how deep the oceans get.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah. It's not nice.
It's really high.
Yeah.
But in the ocean, it's really
And there
low.
Could be anything down there, man. Like, there's this really interesting TED talk I watched recently, which is a theory that we are descended from water apes because of the shape of our nose. If you think about our nose with our nostrils pointing down, it's perfectly adapted for swimming forwards under water without water going up your nose, whereas if That's you had true. Like a flat nostril, you'd constantly be getting water up your nose. And so like we have no idea that there's not just like a branch off from us that's living like super low down, but adapted to live in like really low conditions at the bottom of the earth, the bottom of the ocean. We have no idea. That's entirely possible.
That it bothers me that we don't know any, like, I can't dispute
3%
we know more about the planets in our solar system than we know about the bottom of the ocean. That's why I did this, because this terrifies me, but it also really annoys me.
It's one of these things. I really appreciate this episode, actually, Corey, because I love giving examples of like how little we do know. And so this is great. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, and this is really close to home.
Tell me more about what we don't know.
I mean, this is really close to home as well. It's not like, oh, it's the moon, it's hard to get to. It's just there. You can drop a rock and it'll probably get there.
You could just tie like a brick to your feet and then go all the way to the bottom.
I mean, you'd be dead.
You'd be dead because you'd collapse.
You would go to the bottom.
You probably wouldn't collapse necessarily.
Really?
Well, at the bottom, maybe. But realistically.
Your lungs, maybe.
Collapse, like, yeah, you're...
As in you'd get crushed by the weight of the sea, would you not?
Maybe not. Your lungs and stuff. But
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, because if you think about it, people think that you explode when you go to space.
Mm.
You don't, though.
Not really.
You know? It's just a lot of pressure.
You boil.
Yeah, you do boil.
Which is much...
That's not exploding, though.
Much worse.
And freeze at the same time. Yeah.
I'd rather explode than boil to death.
Yeah, exploding's quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's true.
And cool.
That's true.
Well, when you're in space, it definitely is.
Yeah. It's like that episode of Rick and Morty. There's an episode of Rick and Morty in which they shrink Rick. So they shrink Morty inside a person. And then they need to get Morty back out at normal size.
But it shrinks loads
the
person.
The thing to make him bigger stops working. So they make the entire body bigger so that Morty, who was small enough to fit inside a person, is normal size, which means the person he was in is now
a giant,
the size of the United States.
Over the United States.
Such a good episode.
Yeah, do you know why you can't? There's like a limit to how big people can get.
Because of gravitational on the spine.
Yeah, essentially your bones. So there's this thing called the square cube law. So
yes,
the strength of your bones is to do with the area.
Yeah.
Whereas your mass is to do with your volume.
Yeah, if you increase area, you go up four times in volume. Double the area.
So the volume increases more than the area. So then it gets to a point where your bones just aren't strong enough and they crumble.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you don't have giant insects.
No, you don't have giant
They get quite...
No, you don't know. You don't have giant insects because there's not enough oxygen.
They get quite big.
Yeah, so the thing with insects is, this is really cool.
Big enough to be scary.
Millions of years ago even, there were giant insects.
Oh my God, there were giant centipedes, weren't there?
Yeah, because there was more oxygen.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So
right.
Essentially, insects don't breathe with lungs. They've got like these tiny little holes going in them. And if there's not enough oxygen, it can't penetrate to deep inside of them. So if you've got a higher concentration of oxygen, you can have bigger insects.
Yeah.
And
let's never have more oxygen, please.
I remember watching a documentary about a giant snake that used to exist called the Titanoboa, I think it was called. And then just in the middle of the documentary, they dropped in. They were like, oh yeah, and by the way, there were giant centipedes in this time frame as well. And I was like, that's way cooler and way scarier.
I like when things were bigger.
Than a big snake. We've seen Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Like, give me big insects.
I like when things are bigger, like giant sloths.
Yeah.
They were good.
Like unnecessarily big.
Yeah, like dinosaurs, just big for no reason. What's the point?
Yeah.
Shall we get back to...
Let's get back to the depth of the
ocean.
We'll
talk about dinosaurs for a bit more, but...
Yeah, so 1 kilometer is sunlight. That doesn't really penetrate much past there. It gets very dark, like nighttime. 1.5 kilometers is... Do you remember the BP oil spill?
I do remember the BP oil spill.
So the Deepwater Challenger, which is the whole reason for the spill, that's where that is.
What, it's 1.5 kilometers under the water?
Yeah, roughly.
Ah.
Yeah, supposedly. Oh. It was about 1.5 kilometers under the water. The deepest part of the Grand Canyon is 1.83 kilometers. So that's, the deepest part of the Grand Canyon isn't as deep, even nearly as deep as the deepest parts of the ocean.
Yeah.
Scary.
Ooh. Yeah, scary stuff. And the Grand Canyon is huge. Have you ever seen a picture of someone next to it or seen it yourself?
I've not seen it myself, unfortunately. Not yet.
You've seen it, look at pictures. It's obscene. It's too big.
It's intense, but also you can't fully appreciate it in a picture. Mm. You have to go there, I think.
The Titanic?
I don't know. I've not been there.
Yeah, I was like, you're not being James. You have to go there, otherwise you can't appreciate it.
So
the man who has not been there, so therefore has not appreciated it.
It's like anything else, though. You have to go. The Titanic.
The Titanic. Yeah, that sank. Do you remember that?
That did.
Yeah.
It did sink, I think.
Yeah, so that's down there, 3.8 kilometers.
That's not bad.
It's not too bad, is it? No. You can visit that pretty easily, actually.
No, that's hell deep.
Well, it's not that deep compared to what we're talking about next.
That's nearly 4 kilometers.
Well, it's not as deep as the average depth of the ocean, which is 4.27 kilometers. That's just the average.
So it's basically the average.
And then the height of Mount Everest. So you could put Mount Everest underwater.
Actually, I was going to ask this earlier. I was like, how many Everests could you fit?
1.3.
No, more than that.
Well, the height of Everest is 8.85 kilometers.
Yeah.
And,
oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. So it's just over 10,000 meters, isn't it?
Yeah. And Mariana Trench, Challenger Deep is the deepest point of the ocean that we know about. And that is...
Challenger Deep.
Yeah. 11,034 kilometers.
Meters.
Oh, sorry. 11,000
kilometers.
Oh, my God. It goes
bigger
all,
than the Earth.
It goes all the way through the Earth.
It's 11,034 meters.
Right. Freudian slip. Awful Freudian slip.
It's because of the way I've written it. It's silly. Yes, that's really deep.
It's
Was
real
that deep,
deep
enough for you?
Yeah, what's the deepest thing we've ever found in terms of creatures?
Oh, I've got that later on.
Sorry,
later
I'm doing it again.
Don't spoil the story.
I'm going to talk about people now.
Okay.
People, okay.
So we've had three journeys go down to Challenger Deep. That's Don Walsh and Jacques A man named someone Jacques. Someone Picard. French Picard.
Jacques Picard.
Yes. They went down in 1960. They got to about just under 11 kilometers. They were the first people to do it. And no one has actually gotten deeper than them.
That's
since they did it in 1960.
Quite a long
yeah,
way.
That really surprised me when I saw that animation. Was it was like James Cameron in the 2000s went nearly like about 10 kilometers. Mm. But the ones that did it first went even deeper than him. It's like he had millions and millions of his pounds of his own money. Mm. And he wasn't as good as these guys who did it in the 70s.
Yeah. So Don Walsh is still alive. He went down when he was 27.
What did he see down there, though? Probably nothing. It was too dark.
Not much. They didn't do much many scientific studies. They just kind of went down and were like,
cool.
I think they saw some. They might have seen some like life on the way down, but at the bottom they didn't really see much.
It's kind of mad to see stuff down there because you like. I think we don't appreciate how there's just no energy. Like unless you get right to the bottom and there's some kind of geothermal vent giving off energy from the Earth's core or from the magma. Mm-hmm. There's no light. So there's no photosynthesis going on. There might not be many other creatures, so you can't eat anything.
Exactly.
Like, you're gonna have to find some really cool way of making energy.
It's not even like space where, I mean, at least in space you've got
the sun
pretty some good. Kind of light. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's great.
Solar energy.
A load of energy in it. But no, there's nothing going on down there.
Nothing.
We'll talk about that.
That we know of.
Yeah, nothing that we know of. But every single time someone has gone down, they've been a first in some way. The first two guys were the first to go down there and they were the deepest. James Cameron went in 2012 and he was the first to go by himself. Which is terrifying.
Ooh. I didn't know that. I thought he went with people.
No, he went by himself.
He went by...
Imagine being at the bottom of the ocean.
How did he swim
10 kilometers away from... Almost 11 kilometers away from any other human being. But having like 10 kilometers
that's
of water
terrifying.
In between you and everything else on the planet.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty horrifying. That's, it's got to be really quiet in
that's
there.
That's 100 times more terrifying than just going down there with someone.
Mm.
By yourself.
Supposedly he sat and ate a tuna fish sandwich.
You're joking.
Which is the deepest
freshly caught
tuna has ever gone.
Well, not alive tuna, we assume.
Well, hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
Just to beat that, I'm going to go over the Mariana Trench. Is it Mariana Trench?
Mariana, yeah.
I want to drop some tuna attached to something really heavy. Just so it's the lowest tuna has ever gone.
Why?
Just because then I'll have a world record.
Well, the tuna will have a world record. You'll just be some guy that dropped it.
You got tuna to the deepest. You
that's like
the actual
saying,
tuna.
That's like true of anything, surely.
And a few days ago, this is really lucky. So I was tweeting earlier saying that it was quite lucky because today I found out that this is quite topical.
I did see your tweet and I was wondering like,
yeah,
what is it?
So I did see a video.
I thought it was going to be an episode about trypophobia because of the...
Oh, the apple thing. Yeah, the fear of little holes.
Yeah.
This guy named Victor Vescovo became the fourth person to reach the bottom of the ocean just a few days ago.
Wait, what do you mean by the bottom of the ocean? Because no one's reached the bottom of
the
ocean.
Yeah, but, you know, as close as we get to the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've stood on the bottom of the ocean, if you count the shoreline, on a beach.
Shut up.
That would be the top of the ocean.
Talking. No, but...
No, shut up.
No, it's the bottom.
No, shut up.
No. And, yeah, so a few days ago, news broke of that. It's not... It wasn't very long ago. And the interesting thing about this is that his ship is reusable. Everyone else is kind of...
Ah, like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Very fun.
He is like a cool Elon Musk.
Recycling.
As in Elon Musk, but
Elon
not...
Elon Musk is very cool.
Elon Musk, but he doesn't sound like a supervillain.
He hosted a PewDiePie video one time.
Elon Musk is a supervillain.
He's not a supervillain.
No, he's not.
He's selling flamethrowers.
That's... Yeah, but for fun.
Okay.
He's like...
You might have a point.
He's like...
How is that not a supervillain activity?
No, you don't understand. He's selling it for fun.
Well, okay. Name me a supervillain that sold the weapons that it uses.
Syndrome.
I don't know who that is.
The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. I don't remember that he did that, but I'm sure he did.
That was his plan.
Okay.
It was an easy to miss detail. It was only the whole plot.
He's evil. A good boy.
Evil.
He's a good boy.
Let's move on.
Do you reckon
there's
someone...
Sick
sorry,
of
let's
this.
Move on.
He's a good boy.
Let's talk
boy.
About the good Elon Musk, Victor Vescovo, who has a really cool name, also... Like alliterative, which means he's a superhero.
Victor Vescovo sounds like a supervillain. Not to be like Russia racist, but he does sound like he'd
Captain
be like
America
some kind of like Soviet era American propaganda like supervillain.
Someone that Captain America properly punches in the face, right?
Take this, Victor. Wait, no, why is Captain America Russian?
Take this, Dr. Vescovo.
Take this, Dr. Vescovo. Victor Vescovo.
Victor Vescovo has a project called Five Deeps. which...
Five
deeps. How many deeps do I want to go? Five deeps.
Five deeps.
Sorry.
Carry on.
Why is it called five deeps?
He's going to five different points of the ocean that are really deep. Five deeps.
So there's...
You cannot use the term deep as a plural. Deeps.
He's going to deeps and there's five of them. Five deeps.
That does not work.
It is a bit shorter than five deep points because, in the ocean.
No, because there's Challenger's Deep, which is the name of a place.
But that's like me going, five deeps. I'm going to make a YouTube channel where I go and review yummy food. And in every video, I review five foods that are nice and I call it five yummies.
That's fine.
No, it's not. It's not okay.
That's perfectly fine. Anyway, he's going to five different oceans and going to the deepest point of each of them.
Like five deeps. Oh. I mean, like as if he was going to five deeps.
Yes, there's five different deeps he's going to.
In short, yes.
Now, the cool thing about this, like I said, is that his ship is reusable. It can submerge and then come back up and resubmerge without breaking. And the reason that the other guys had to leave early, cut out early and go home, was because their ship started to crack because of the immense pressure under the water. So he's got... five deeps, like I said.
Five deeps.
I just hate it. I hate it so much.
So
five deeps.
He's actually visited six places. And I'll tell you those now.
Oh, false advertising.
Well, no, it's because one of them was the wreck of the Titanic, which isn't really a deep. So he's gone to Molloy Deep, the Mariana Trench, which is Challenger's Deep, the Java Trench, South Sandwich Trench, the Puerto Rico Trench, and that's all the trenches. And
he also went to the deeps.
He also went to the wreck of the Titanic.
The deeps. Which doesn't count as a deep, I think you'll find.
It's not a deep, it's just a Titanic.
So it's five deeps and the Titanic.
Which is crazy, that like the Titanic Harry is just Potter sitting there.
It's like the new version of Five Weddings and a Funeral.
Harry Potter and the Five Deeps.
Five Deeps and the Titanic.
So the ship that he's gone in is called The Limiting Factor, which is apparently a reference to some old sci-fi book because he's a nerd, because obviously he's a nerd because he's spending all of his money to go visit the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, Don Walsh is still alive, and he was aboard the ship that the other ship dropped from when it first went down.
The mothership.
The mothership, essentially.
The mothership.
So Victor Vescovo went down in his one-man little, you know, tin can down to the bottom, and the first guy to ever go down to the bottom of the ocean was there on the ship.
Did he release him?
Well, I mean, I don't think he personally released him.
Press the button.
he only had praises for it. He described the mission as a tour de force, which is French.
Maybe he misspelled Tour de France.
The mission is a cycling race.
Autocorrect.
It's like riding a bike. You never really forget it. The Limiting Factor did five deep dives in the space of 10 days. Not the five different deeps. Just five deep dives to the same place.
To the same deep.
So separate from the five deeps.
Five deep dives in the same deep.
Five other deeps.
So hang on.
Try saying that five times fast.
What if he does, say, does he do five visits to each deep and then he visits five deeps? So there are 25 deeps.
I don't think he's limited to
and
five.
And the Titanic.
Five deeps in the Titanic.
25 deeps in the Titanic.
he just visited Challenger's Deep five times.
Okay.
Yeah. So on Vescovo's first dive in the Limiting Factor, he spent 4 hours at the bottom, which is 4 hours at the deepest point that anyone's been to.
Why was he staying there?
He just wanted to have a look around. He don't want to just go. You would.
That is
just
no light. That there's is no quite light a long there. Time.
He brought his own lights, Luke.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to go to the bottom of the ocean and sit in the dark for 4 hours.
He got the torch on his phone and he put it out the window.
What was he looking at?
There's no light down there.
Oh, golly, I've made a mistake.
Oh, I forgot to pack the bloody torches.
It'd be worse if you just forgot the batteries. And on the fourth trip...
Do you know how does it get back up? Like, what's the propulsion system?
Some of them, I know... This is really difficult to find. Genuinely, yeah. I wanted to have this whole thing about how it worked and everything, but...
That's a good question.
The information is difficult to find. Maybe. Or like old ones used to just eject mass.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Mass.
Mass as in anything.
As in they drop stuff and then they'd float back up.
Yeah, but this one is reusable, so I doubt it does that. It probably is something to do with fans, some kind of propulsion system.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure.
Sad.
It's difficult to find. But then this is very new and it's non-commercial, so he doesn't probably want that being out there.
Yeah.
So the Limiting Factor, which is the name of the ship, as I've said, its hull is made of grade 23 titanium, and the diameter inside is 59 inches, and the thickness of the hull, which is, you know, like the walls of the boat, is 3.5 inches or wow, 9
that's
centimeters.
Quite thick.
It's thick.
That's thicker than like a plane, I think.
Yeah, it probably
that's
is.
Really
it's
chunky.
Really thick. If you think about it, though, a plane doesn't even need to deal with
pressure.
Pressure, well, yeah.
Planes need to deal with pressure. They need to deal with less than one atmosphere of pressure. But if this is down 11 kilometers, and for every 10 meters, you get an
extra atmosphere.
Yeah, that's 1,000 atmospheres.
Wow.
It's quite a few atmospheres, to be honest.
Yeah, which is a lot more than
a plane.
I mean, actually, the difference between us going from here into space is 1,000 times less than the difference between going down to the bottom of the ocean.
Zero atmospheres.
Yeah. So, like, going deep in the ocean is a lot like going to space, but just kind of flipped.
1,000 times.
Yeah, it's much more terrifying, it's and it's just a little bit flipped. You know, all the problems you've got to deal, there's similar problems you've got to deal with, but they're just inverted.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I wonder about that is that although it feels like we're going from, say, one atmosphere to zero atmospheres, that is essentially, when we go to space, that is essentially, I don't know if it works like this, but like I would imagine that because you're going to zero atmospheres, it's not like you're doing minus one. You're doing minus everything. It's going to infinitely undense, infinite non-density, which is like, would the equivalent of that be if you were to keep going deeper and deeper in ocean, then it would be infinitely dense. It would be like having infinite inward pressure. Mm. Is space like having infinite outward pressure, or is actually the vacuum of space not particularly strong?
Well, to have infinite inward pressure, you'd need to... it depends what the pressure on the inside is. So our bodies are adjusted to dealing with one atmosphere of pressure on the outside.
Yes.
So we give one atmosphere of pressure on the inside. Yeah. All of our organs are supposed to do that. Yeah. So when we go into space, our organs expand. If we go underwater, then they compress. So it depends. You would die within about a minute of going into space.
Lovely.
Although I don't know if you'd drown first or if you would just die from all your organs being crushed if you go underwater.
What's the difference, really? You're dead.
Yeah, you're very dead. You're so dead.
We still haven't gotten to animals yet.
Is it time to hear about the animals yet, Corey?
It's one thing away from the animals. Yay. Work. I'm sorry.
Oh, there's so many things.
I'm
going to
talk about
ocean.
Decompression sickness.
Oh, yeah.
The bends. So a big reason that it's difficult for people to go down and essentially come back up is the bends, which is decompression sickness, which essentially there's gases that dissolve in your blood. Nitrogen specifically dissolves in your blood when you're going underwater with your little oxygen canister. And if you come back up too quickly, it essentially just comes out of your blood in bubbles and kills you.
Oh.
Well, not necessarily kills you, just makes you feel...
It
can kill you. It makes you dizzy, gives you a headache, kind of like being drunk, essentially, but with joint pain.
This is even if you're inside a capsule.
No. Okay. This is if you're diving.
There are decompression chambers that you use to like stabilize yourself before you go all the way back up.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can't, you've got to be slow in coming back up because the pressure changes could just destroy your body completely.
It's not very nice.
And if you want to treat it, they put you in a chamber of 100% oxygen sometimes.
I heard that's really like fun. Like it's really like, you kind of like you're drunk.
Oh, you get high. Yeah.
Really?
You get high off of... That's what people say, that one of the reasons that happens on planes. Do you know when the oxygen masks come down?
Mm.
Supposedly, it's not to help you breathe because you're basically dead. Yeah, you're basically dead in a plane crash. It's just to make you chill high.
Out. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Which, whether it's true or not, it works.
That's very considerate.
I don't know if I'm comforted.
Well, no, I think it's in case that... It's if the oxygen supply fails.
If the oxygen supply fails, yeah. But ultimately,
it's not to get you high before you die.
What I'm saying is that ultimately, if a plane is crashing, you're dead anyway. So in effect, the oxygen is only going to just get you high and chill you out.
Yes, but if you're absolutely fine flying through the air, but the oxygen supply fails, then that's why it's there.
Yeah, okay. That is why it's there. I misspoke. What I mean is more that if the plane is crashing and the oxygen masks come down, just get high before you die.
Just get high.
I can almost guarantee you that that is not why.
I'm not saying that's what it's for. I'm just saying that's what will happen.
The air hostess is now pointing out the nearest available exit for you. In the event that we're going to die, heroin will drop down from the ceiling and you can inject it.
You'll see the air hostess passing around the bong. Please,
please pass it to the left-hand side.
Please take a token, pass it on.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for.
Is it the animals?
Oh my god, it's the animals.
The aminals. Oh, isn't it?
Thank God we got there.
So organisms in the deep sea are almost entirely reliant on sinking matter from above. Uh-huh. That's either living mm-hmm. or dead, because there's basically no food down there.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff falls at 100 meters per day.
Wow.
Day. Oh, wow. That's actually...
That's really slow.
I mean, it's in water, though. So it's sinking.
It's sinking.
In water.
Things no, sink that's quite still slowly. Incredibly slowly. That's like...
Very slow.
That's like, what, 4 meters an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very slow. But it'll be because the water's so dense that the upthrust is so great compared to the gravity pulling it down. Yeah. They're probably like almost balanced and the gravity has a tiny, tiny bit of edge.
Exactly. So
4 meters an hour.
You know how how things float in water?
Upthrust.
Yeah.
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 Can you explain it?
It's because the pressure of the water, the weight of the water is... pushing up.
Would you like me to?
Well, no, yeah, yeah.
There's okay, so effectively there's two different forces you want to think of. There's your weight, which is the downward force. Mm-hmm. And there's also the upthrust, the buoyancy force, which is just the pressure of the water pushing up on you.
Yeah, trying to push up.
Yeah. Now, if it's more dense, if something is more dense, a liquid is more dense, it's going to have more of an upthrust because it's got more pressure to push up on.
So is that essentially right, because things are trying to, or everything's trying to move to a state of lower density? So the water particles at the bottom are trying to move away from a state of high density. So they're trying to get upwards.
Oh,
it's
I
more
see.
A case of if something is more dense, it hits off stuff more.
Yeah.
So there's more stuff. So effectively what pressure is just the tiny little atoms and particles bouncing off stuff.
Okay.
So if something is more dense, there's more of those little particles in one space. So there's more of them to hit off you.
Right.
Yeah.
So effectively a way to make something float more is to either decrease its weight or increase the buoyancy force. So that's why things sink very slowly. So the animals.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things that make life down there hard. We've spoken about that. Pressure is one of them. To cope with the pressure, a lot of animals are...
Taking heroin?
I'm sorry?
That's the worst way to deal with pressure, Luke. Are you taking heroin?
No, I'm not taking heroin. It's just because you said they deal with the pressure. And I was like, I gotta say something. And my brain went, take heroin. No, my brain didn't. My brain didn't say take it. No. Okay, just carry on. Stop letting me talk.
You can donate to a fund to help Luke and his heroin problem by following the link in the description.
You can donate to my Kickstarter to kickstart my heroin addiction.
Gotta start somewhere.
To cope with the excess pressure, a lot of fish are smaller and some of them just get rid of stuff inside them that could be crushed, like swim bladders. So there aren't any excess cavities. So we'd probably get, our lungs would be smaller. We wouldn't have such a big chest cavity. Hmm. Our noses wouldn't be like they are. Mouths would be, you know what I mean? Like there's not excess space that you've got to like stop from being crushed in.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's mainly the way to deal with pressure. The biggest issue probably is the lack of resources, by which I mean there's not really any food or sunlight down there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So how life on the surface works, effectively, the most simplistic way to think of it is sunlight comes down, plants make food from sunlight, animals eat plants, animals eat animals. That keeps on going on.
It's a cycle.
It's the circle of life.
They do poop.
And then they
plant,
die.
Eat poop, make more plant. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's a little circle, but sunlight is the outside thing that comes in that makes all that possible.
Sunlight gives everything.
Exactly. So if you take out the sunlight, what happens? No life. But there's life at the bottom of the ocean.
Geothermal vents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Geothermal vents, in part. So there are kind of bacteria and other creatures that are at the bottom of the ocean next to geothermal vents that use that energy in order to make food. And other animals eat them and then eat them and eat them, going up the food chain. But what about places where there aren't geothermal vents? Because there are creatures living in places not near geothermal vents.
With no sunlight.
I feel like I've read about this, but I can't remember what it is.
What this whole process is chemosynthesis. So that includes being next to hydrothermal vents. They're using chemosynthesis. But at the oceanic crust, like in thick layers of sediment, there are creatures that actually just...
Is that to do with turning like radiation into energy? Or
No.
It's the same as the sun is radiation.
They just, so they basically react hydrogen with a rock that's found in sediment called olivine.
That's so weird. So it's actually just doing raw chemistry to get energy.
Yeah, with seawater. So basically they make hydrogen
from the H2O.
From the H2O and the olivine.
Right.
Yeah.
And they also then have some oxygen there as well. That's probably quite helpful.
Yeah, it probably is quite. But then also things can live without oxygen.
Have you ever stuck down there?
Which is really interesting because it means that on other planets, other bacteria could be living off of this process with no oxygen. There's also a bunch of fish. Just like a ton of fish down there. Like
fish or small fish?
Ah, I'm glad you asked because the next thing I'm going to talk about is deep sea gigantism.
Oh. I knew it. Big sharks.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so for some reason, and I'm saying for some reason because we don't really know. This is another one of the things that we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Down really deep, some animals just get real big.
Things are real big.
Like stupid big. So you guys know what wood lice are. Pill bugs, slaters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're the little kind of like roly-poly bugs.
Yeah, yeah.
They're usually about, how big would you say? About,
like a centimeter? Like
a centimeter. That's a big one. That's a centimeter.
The biggest.
So down there, their relative will get to approximately between 19 and 36 centimeters and weighing about 1.7 kilograms.
Scary.
That's the biggest ones that you can find. But
for
like,
what reason?
Just because. The only things that we, so there's the That's only things really that we annoying. Know why they're so big, and when I say no, we yeah. think we know, are these kind of giant worms. And we think they're so big just because there's a lot of resources and they don't need to move anywhere to get their food. So
How
they
big
put all
is
their
a giant worm.
Right.
Not very big. I don't have the exact length of it. It's like it's big.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening, guys. You can check out.
Think of a worm and then make it bigger.
They're giant tube worms. Tube worms are usually tiny, but their diameter, which is the width of their body, is 4 centimeters.
Ooh, that's
for the giant
thick.
Ones.
That's like a snake.
And they can reach a length of 2.4 meters.
Ooh.
Yeah. Awful. So how they survive is they use
not that big.
What was
2.4 meters? It's like, yeah. That's a snake.
It's bigger than a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except I have a diameter more than 4 centimeters.
It's true.
Yeah.
So how do they feed?
They have bacteria in them that make food from chemicals. On near hydrothermal vents.
Ah, very
so
nice.
They don't need to go anywhere to
so
get
they
food.
Don't even eat anything. The bacteria just do it.
The bacteria do it and they just, yeah.
They just chill.
Yeah, they just chill out, which is why they're so big probably.
They
because
probably
they put all of their energy.
They have a great life then, don't they?
I mean, they do. I want to be reincarnated as a giant tube worm.
Yeah.
That's an easy life.
Awesome.
It's basically Luke's life, except, you know, moving slightly less.
I don't know what you're trying to say there.
I don't know. I'm sorry, man. There's also the giant squid.
Like in Harry Potter.
Yes, like in Harry Potter.
Also yeah. like in the real world.
Except the real giant squids aren't like friends with students and also don't live in lakes in Scotland. So no, not at all like in Harry Potter. Yeah, so giant squids, they're pretty elusive. We don't really have many pictures of
them.
Yeah,
they're almost like a myth, aren't they? They're like
more or less, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were thought to be fake for ages until they actually found one.
They found one quite recently as well.
Yeah.
So they're massive, though. They can be meters and meters long, I think, up to about 30 meters.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Giant.
That's giant.
Not, think of not a think of the size
squid,
of a normal squid.
Giant squid.
A normal squid, if it's about a meter, you're like, that's big. That's a big
that's
squid.
That's a big squid.
Yeah.
Ooh, scary.
Oh, sorry. 13.
Okay. That's 13, still big.
Not 30.
That's still quite
But still,
big.
That's big.
Yeah. That's big.
Huge. Giant, even.
Some may say.
So, it's dark down in the ocean, isn't it?
Yes.
At a certain point.
Yeah, what's the solution to that?
Big Talk bulbs.
Big lights.
Making your own lights. Bioluminescence.
Oh, yeah.
Anglerfish,
yeah.
Anglerfish.
So, a whole bunch of them. Sorry.
The one in Finding Nemo is terrifying. Sorry.
Yeah.
Gave me nightmares.
I like how Corey stopped explaining because he
would
thought
you, like
you
to
had
make
a point.
I thought you had something profound.
Would you
say,
like to make a point?
Nemo is
the one
scary.
In Finding Nemo gave me nightmares.
I'm glad I cut you off. Yeah, so those do exist. There's also viperfish, flashlight fish. Yeah, a bunch of different kinds of fish that just make lights. And actually, pretty much every single animal, I think all animals that we know that produce light, use the same kind of chemical. It's called luciferin.
Isn't it a separate organism that creates the light often? It's like a symbiotic relationship.
Usually,
it lives inside them or on them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. But they all use the same chemical. more or less. It's just slightly different, so it's named based on the organism that it's in.
Yeah.
And that's from bacteria to fireflies to anglerfish at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, really? Even ones above the ocean use this, the same thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fireflies use the same one. Luciferin and luciferase. Wow.
Lucifer? Satan is lighting up the bottom of the ocean.
Devil's chemical.
Yes, sure. I'll let you have that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. So they use light for a bunch of different reasons, either to see things or to attract prey, like in the case of the anglerfish. I think some even for mating, but that's probably less common.
You could say that they're flashing.
If you use flashing to get women interested in you, Luke, you should be in jail.
Why have you had for a women, scandal sorry.
The deepest we've found of fish was about 8,000 meters, 8,178.
There wasn't any when they got to the bottom of the ocean.
No, they didn't see any fish.
Not that
right
at the bottom of there. That's the snailfish. We filmed that in 2017. Like I said, 8,000 meters.
The snailfish
below, surface of the ocean.
Pretty resilient.
Yeah, really resilient.
That's a long way.
And there's a few others like around that kind of level. A few other fish. Mm. Lots of them are snailfish. We didn't really think that any of them existed down there up until they were found, essentially, because we thought that life couldn't exist below a certain level.
It's almost like we're constantly wrong about everything.
I mean, that's what science is. It's being wrong until you find out that you were wrong. And then being wrong again, but slightly less so.
Perpetually wrong forever.
Paul Yancey, who is a marine biologist, basically has estimated that we can't have fish any deeper than about 8,300 meters.
I bet he's wrong.
Probably.
Well, this is because proteins don't build properly below that level. He's probably wrong, but that's the thing, there'll be a fish that doesn't need proteins for some reason. But deep sea fish have this really cool way of stopping themselves from just collapsing under pressure. They produce this molecule called trimethylamine oxide, or TMAO, and that's what makes fish smell. But they've got it in such a quantity that it makes them jelly-like, so that they're not really crushed by
like
pressure.
Like the moon bears.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. Kind of like the moon bears, yeah.
It's almost like if they're like jelly-like, then that's like a suspension system, I guess.
Mm. Yeah,
like
exactly.
It stops the pressure reaching their organs.
So, and it kind of, well, it does that, and it also, it helps proteins work at higher pressures. Mm. So in the same way that tardigrades have got a protein in them that helps other proteins work in different conditions, these fish have got a similar protein that helps their proteins work at really, really high pressures.
Ingenious.
Yeah.
That's clever.
But if you go any deeper than about 8,300, 8,400 meters, apparently the pressure would be so great that water would just flow through their bodies and kill them.
What?
Yeah.
Why would it flow through their bodies?
They wouldn't be able to necessarily hold it out.
The pressure is so big, it'll just kind of...
Oh.
It rushes. Go
right through.
Because there's a point if you're diving down in, say, a submersible or something, that if you were to break a window, air wouldn't rush out, water would rush in.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean by that? There's a subtle difference between the bubbles pushing out
yeah, the surface.
The air pushing out.
As opposed to the water.
Right. As opposed to the water
right.
pushing in.
Because the, okay.
Yeah, so implosions are what happen at
the
bottom of the
ocean.
So
I thought you meant if you smashed a window in the side of your submersible.
Yeah.
Water would rush in.
What I mean is...
Goodness me, what?
What I'm meaning is
only
that
the facts here on Sci-Guys.
The water would be breaking the windows inwards.
Right.
Rather than the air pushing and breaking it outwards.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you put something at the bottom of the ocean, it's going to implode, which essentially just means the pressure crushes it in and then it breaks apart. But that's more or less us. Just to end on it, as Vescovo has said, if you remember, the guy that
The supervillain.
Yeah, the super... No.
That was Elon Musk.
No. The second guy, the guy that went to the bottom of the ocean, the fourth person to go to the bottom of the ocean, he's effectively said that now humanity can get anywhere in the bottom of the ocean because he's got this vehicle that can go down and back up.
And recycle itself.
Exactly. So it's only a matter of time before we've explored...
The ocean is our
100%
of the
ocean.
It's only a matter of time before we've explored the other 97% of the ocean.
Exactly.
Wow.
You know what? This has been a bit of an episode. I want to end on something quite fun, which is when I googled the Mariana Trench, I found some reviews
of the Mariana Trench.
Of the Mariana Trench.
Was it by fish?
Did James Cameron leave one?
Unfortunately not. I was really hoping one of these guys.
James.
One of them says, poor cell service and rude locals almost got blown up by an underwater volcano. Another says, would have given 5 stars, but the lighting was a bit too dim for my taste. And the last one says, there was a lot of work and pressure, but I made it safe and sound. The fish and chips were great, but the chips were a bit soggy. The neighbors were a bit cagey, though.
Bit cagey?
Bit cagey. I don't know what that means, but the fish and chips were soggy.
Awful.
This is because Google allows you to review any place that is a place, which is ridiculous. But that's the show, guys.
Well done. We got there.
I'm glad we know about the oceans now. Anything you want to add?
I feel thoroughly enlightened about the ocean.
Unlike the ocean, which is
dark. Well, at least 3% of it.
I suppose the only thing I'd like to add is that because we can now get to the deepest parts of the ocean doesn't mean that that's going to allow us to necessarily, it's not going to increase that 3% number, because part of the reason why we haven't explored so much of the ocean is because the ocean can't be mapped from space. So you have to go down there.
It can.
Oh, can it?
It has been, yeah.
Oh.
We've mapped parts of it.
So why haven't we done more then?
We've mapped parts of it, but we can only do so much kind of general mapping.
That's what I mean. In order to map it, like you can look at Mars and map it perfectly with telescopes. But in order for us to actually explore the bottom of the ocean, we have to go to the bottom of the ocean in either a vehicle or with a robot or something like that. And so although we can get to the bottom of the ocean, yes, we now will have to go to all of the ocean at the bottom of the ocean.
But we did it with the ocean, the top of the ocean, and there's less ocean at the bottom of the ocean.
All right. Yeah, but it's also a lot deeper.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
No excuse.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean,
well, then my point's invalid.
That's not invalid.
End the show. I won't be back next week.
Thanks for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth in most places.
Most places.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.